Joining us now, he is the tournament director up at the Travelers Championship in Hartford. Nathan Grube joins us. Nathan, welcome into the golf shop.
Thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
All right. So first off, let's hear a little bit about how the course is shaping up. You know, different parts of the country have had obviously different types of winters and different types of spring. How's things taking shape up there?
You know what? We were very fortunate that it's a PGA Tour property. So they have their agronomy people up here year-round. You know, they look at it at the end of the summer and the fall, kind of before it's, you know, the winter comes. They look at it during the winter. They look at it in the spring. So we feel really, really lucky that we have kind of the tour's eyes as a TPC property on the golf course to make sure that it's ready for the tour event that comes in the summer. So it looks really good right now. We've had some guys take a look at it. Some guys are showing up now who either weren't in the open or they missed the cut and taking a look at it, saying things look really, really good. So it's always amazing to me how you can come off of that much snow and then just have a course that looks this good. So we're very lucky.
Yeah, you know, and talk to me about that a little bit in terms of the field. I mean, you guys are after a major championship. It's always interesting that people worry about sometimes about tournaments that happen before or after major championship, but you guys always seem to get a really good field, don't you?
Well, I think it starts, the golf course is one that the players enjoy. They think it's a very fair golf course, you know, kind of rewards you for good shots, punishes you for bad shots. And when you get a course that the players like, that's always the first hurdle. You know, if the guys don't like a course, it's really hard. I don't care what your date is on the calendar. It's hard to get them to come to your event. But, I mean, so we start, we're very lucky, a good golf course. And then when we got this date back in 07, we got the week after the Open when Travelers came on as title sponsor, there were some challenges. You know, a lot of people were like, oh, gosh, you know, what are you guys going to do the week after the Open? And is that going to be hard for you? And we just kind of jumped into it both feet and said, okay, what really are the challenges? Like, why won't a guy play the week after the Open? And we just started talking to the players about it. You know, what are the hindrances? Why? And, you know, there wasn't really one like, oh, I hate to play the week after the Open. It was just a handful of little things. You know, it was hard logistically. You know, they were thinking about a major. But we tried to address all those things, and we talked to the caddies, the players, the wives, the trainers, the nutritionists, you know, the whole entourage that travels with the players, and said, how can we make our week as good as it can be for you? And over the years, it's worked out really well. I mean, this year we have 5 of the top 10 in the world, and, I mean, you know, Jordan Spieth defending, and Jason Day, and Roy McIlroy, and Bubba, and Patrick Reed, and Brooks Koepka. I mean, we're very lucky to have a place that the guys like to come, and then we try to really take care of them when they get here.
Yeah, you know, and looking at past champions, I mean, you've got long hitters like Bubba Watson. You've got grinders like a Ken Duke. I mean, Jim Furyk has shot exceptionally low out there before. I mean, what does it take to win at this golf course? Because it sounds like a little bit of everybody has won at this golf course. Does it just really come down to a guy kind of putting everything together? Or, you know, is this a tee shot golf course, a second shot golf course, or obviously the flat stick is where we're talking about?
So I would say this. I think the best example I can give of this is 2010. We had a playoff, and the two players in the playoff were Bubba Watson and Corey Pavin. And when you look at a golf course that at the time, Bubba was the longest hitter on tour, and Corey was the shortest hitter on tour. And when you have a golf course where you have those two in a playoff together, I was standing there watching it going, how weird is this? You know, I mean, it's so rare that you get, of course, I don't think it favors any one type of player. That's what I think is so fun about it. I mean, so in 2000, that was Bubba's first win in 2010, but he was in it with Pavin. He beat Pavin in the playoff. And then you kind of look at the different styles of games, and Rory McIlroy, I thought, really said it best. He played last year for the first time. And he said, you know what, I really love the golf course. And he went into the reasons why. You know, you have to pick the right sight lines off your tee shot. You know, you have to pay attention to what's happening around the greens. And, you know, I mean, because you can think you had a good shot and all of a sudden it rolls off the green. You just have a really, really tough up and down. And so it's a fun golf course that I don't think favors any one type of player.
Again, we're talking with the tournament director up in Hartford for the Travelers. Nathan Grube joins us. And, Nathan, this golf course has kind of evolved over time, hasn't it? I mean, it started out as a I want to say it started out as a nine-hole golf course, had a second nine added to it way back in the day, and then was taken over by TPC and was modified and then modified again. You know, talk about a little bit about the changes over the years of this golf course.
Yeah, it's funny. If you go back and look at that history, you know, from Edgewood Country Club to, you know, when the tour brought their team in, a lot of changes, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, you know, even early 80s. But since when they moved the tournament here in 84, they moved from Weathersfield, but just the tournament had gotten so big, just logistically and crowds and television and everything, they needed a different piece of property for all of it. And so they moved over here in 84, and there hasn't been big changes since 84. I mean, there's been a little bit of work done. The bunkers were redone here about 2 years ago. But overall, it's a very fair golf course. The front nine feels a little bit more like a link style, more open, and the back nine just has one of the best personalities, I think, on tour. I mean, you turn the corner, you play kind of along the river on the back nine, and then 15, 16, 17 and 18 all play around a big lake, and you can literally stand in one spot, and 15 is a drivable par four where anything can happen. 16 is a par three over the water where, I mean, guys can win or lose the tournament there. 17, you got water all on your right and just junk up on the left, and so it's a really hard tee shot. And then 18 is just completely surrounded by fans during the tournament. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people, and our crowds are I would put them up against anybody on tour. I mean, they're enthusiastic. They come out. They show up. And Jordan said that last year. He said, man, the galleries here are like nothing I've ever seen. And part of the reason is how the course is designed. I mean, it's a stadium course. It's almost like every hole you can get a good view because it kind of goes up, and the holes are a little bit in a bowl almost, so you can get really, really good views for the crowd. So I think the golf course is very memorable. The guys think about it. They anticipate, especially 15 through 18, where so much can happen on that closing stretch.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too, I always felt about that golf course is I always felt like the front nine and back nine, it kind of felt like you were playing two different styles of golf course. And, you know, the front nine, like you said, is kind of more linksy, and it's you're hitting shots and seeing what the ball is doing, and the back nine is very much you know, kind of what you expect more out of a stadium type course, like you said, with all the fans and the risk reward and the water, and it's really a fun golf course to play. And if people haven't had a chance to get up there and play it, it's an awesome experience, and it's an awesome area, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I came up here in 05, and just the way that this community embraces the tournament, I mean, they feel like it's theirs. And so there's a sense of ownership, a sense of pride, you know, with the event. I mean, we have over 4,000 volunteers that come out for the tournament during tournament week. And people circle it on their calendar. I look forward to it. And that type of excitement and energy, anticipation, it makes for a really cool environment for a golf course that is, it's almost like it's built for a tour event. I mean, how it's set up, being able to move people around the golf course. I mean, we have a big fan zone right in between the first and the 18th hole, like literally right between. We have like a 20-acre piece of land that used to be the old driving range, and we built a new practice facility, and so this land right in the middle of the golf course has become our fan zone for the golf tournament. And there's just, I mean, tons of stuff for families to do in there. So it's a fun place to come, not just as a player and a fan, but also for people who don't like golf. There's actually a ton of stuff to do.
And, you know, Jim Furyk shooting 58 out there a few years ago. Just talk a little bit about that in terms of the feeling, the buzz that was going on at the golf course. And, you know, I mean, we talk about, and people say, well, you know, it's an easier golf course, or the par is different, you know, to shoot 58. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're playing a 5,000-yard golf course, you know, that's flat and slow greens and all that stuff. You still got to make the putts. You still got to hit the shots to shoot that number. And if people think that it's too easy, then, you know, go play a par three course and tell me what you shoot. You still got to shoot it, right?
What's crazy is that, so the course is, it's a par 70, and it's right around 7,000 yards. And so it's not a long course, but if you look at what wins our tournament every year, it's usually 12, 13, 14 under. So it's not I mean, like last year, what was it? Last year, the U.S. Open was at 16 under, and we finished Jordan 1 in a playoff against Berger at 12 under. And, like, our course, it defends itself very, very well. And what's crazy, when Furyk shot that 58, it wasn't like everybody was going low that week or that day. He shoots 12 under on Sunday, and 14 under won the tournament that week. So it wasn't right. Russell Knox finished at 14 under and wins. So it wasn't like guys were, you know, 21 under. And it, I mean, that's how good that round was for Jim. It wasn't like everybody was going deep. I mean, he almost in one day made up to get in the playoff. You know, he started the day at one over, shoots 12 under, finishes at 11 under, and the winning score is at 14 under. So it's a course, again, that you can do something on it, but it will punish you if you're not careful. But I remember that Sunday, it was because Jim went out early, and I was in the media center when he turned the front nine. I want to say he was 7 over maybe on the front nine, right around there. And I got a note from somebody saying, hey, you know, Furyk's going deep. And I thought, okay. And I looked, and I was like, oh, he's 7 under. And, like, over the next four holes, he went to 8, 9, 10. And I went, oh, boy, okay, what's going to happen? But what's crazy is that he didn't birdie the par 5, the last par 5, which is a very birdieable hole on 13, and he didn't birdie 15, which is the drivable par 4. He made a really good putt on 16 to actually get to 12 under, but he could have been 13 under, 14 under. I mean, it was out there, and it was funny. When he makes that putt on 18 to shoot 58, you can kind of see it on his face, like, man, that was amazing, but I think I left a few out there. So it was but the buzz around the place was crazy, and what was awesome is that people started coming out, you know, because the media started to cover it that morning, and people started coming out, you know, kind of 11, 12 o'clock on Sunday just to see history, and they got to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, you know, relative to what the field shot that day, I mean, probably the average score was probably pretty close to 70, I imagine. And, you know, in the lowest scores of the day outside of him, it's not like, you know, it's not like guys were out there shooting 62s and 63s and he threw up a 58. I mean, it was guys were shooting 66 and 67 and he shoots the 58. So that's the difference.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it even more impressive. And like you said, the winning score was only 14 under.
Yeah, the winning score was only 14. Actually, what's funny, I remember earlier that day, actually, Justin Thomas had the next lowest round that day. He shot 63, and I walked in the clubhouse, and I said, Justin, man, I'm so sorry. That's one of the quietest 63s ever. Like, but, you know, Pure clipped you by 5. He's like, man, I've never shot 63 before, and just not, I mean, that all people were doing was talking about Jim. So he was the only other guy that had gone low on Sunday in 16. But, yeah, it was pretty impressive what he did.
So before we let you go, you know, tell me a little bit about you mentioned watching the last four holes kind of all from one spot. I mean, if you're, as the tournament director, if you have some free time, which I know doesn't really happen during tournament week, but if you had some free time and you just could become a spectator, let's say on Sunday afternoon, and watch golf and watch, you know, all the players come through, what specific spot on this golf course are you going to watch?
I'd stand right behind the 15th green, no question about it, because you can see the 15th, 16th, 17th, and then the 18th tee shot, and then you can follow the groups up 18. So we have the tour players, you know, when they have their wives or girlfriends following them, if they come out of their family, you know, just kind of their own personal gallery, that's where they will stand. Like, the families will stay right there because you can see so much from just one spot. And our partners, you know, vendors that come out here and build the tournament, you know, the tent, scaffolding, all those, the different crews that see all these tournaments around the country, they look at that spot on 15 green and they go, this is amazing, you know, just because you can see so much golf from one spot. So I would, if I was a spectator to our event, I would camp behind a 15th green and just watch it all unfold.
Awesome, man. Well, Nathan, we really appreciate you coming on with us this morning, and we look forward to a great event up there in Hartford.
Sounds good. Thanks for the opportunity to come on. Hope you guys have a good time.